Amen. Y'all type in a big God bless you to all of the psalmists and the band and the entire team. So grateful to God to be here one more time. Do want to say a big thank you. I know that at the click of a button, you could be worshiping with somebody else. And so we thank you for granting us your time as we worship together. There is a word from the Lord from Exodus chapter 13. I'm going to read the 8th and the 9th verse, Exodus chapter 13, verses 8 and 9 from the NIV version. Here's what it says. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. I do this. I do it because of what the Lord did for me when he brought me, out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. Amen. I want to talk about important things to remember in a pandemic. There are some important things every child of God ought to remember in the midst of a pandemic. There's a lot of things we're learning to do a new way. We're learning to social distance. That's a new thing. We're learning to wear masks. That's a new thing. We're learning to be careful, and we go into restaurants and we want a whole lot of distance between us. That's a new thing. We're learning how to teach a new way. We're learning how to drop children off at school in a new way. But there are some things I want to share with you as I looked at chapter 13 and chapter 14 in the book of Exodus as God shared and led and blessed his children. There are some things that you ought to remember in the midst of the pandemic. And one of the things that you ought to remember is that God has some habits. The God we serve, he has some habits. There's some things that God, you will see him do over and over and over again, because he's a God of habits. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all because he is a God that has some habits. And I'm excited about some of the habits that I've learned about God. I'm telling you, if you study the Lord and see him operate, you'll see that there's some stuff he's done, not just in the heroes of the faith, but you'll see he's done it in your very own life, because he's a God of habits. And if you will remember this in the midst of the pandemic, you'll have something to shout about all the time. Here we go. One of the things that I want you to know is that God is in the habit of bringing his children out. He's in the habit. He's in the habit of bringing his children out. Some stuff they go in because it's consequences. But even in the midst of that, I've seen God bring them out. Some things they go in because it's God ordained. But I've still seen God bring them out. And if I were to pass the mic around to the team today, every single one of us could testify somewhere where God, Dorothy would say, nobody but God has brought me out. He's in the habit of bringing people out. But let me remind you that he's in the habit of bringing people out in his own time. He does it according to his time. And there's some people extremely frustrated, and you keep asking the question, when is this going to be over? I'm going to give you the answer: in his time. When are we going to get to go back to normal? In his time. He has the right. He got the right
to do what he wants to do, and he chooses to bring, it was 483 days to the day where he brought the children of Israel out. He's a God of habits, and one of the habits, he's in the habit of bringing people out in his own time. Here's what you need to remember. Before God lets you go in, he already has an exit strategy. I'm waiting for y'all to type hallelujah. Trudy, tell me when somebody shouted. I got to wait for you. Say what? Oh, they already shouted. Let me say it again. God has an exit. God is so God that before he lets you go in, he already know how he gonna bring you. Let me prove my point. Hamler, in chapter 3, verse 12, when God called Moses, God told Moses when he was out there playing shepherd, watching the sheep, God told Moses, listen to what he says, Shell. He says, and one of the reasons you gonna know that I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do is cause after you go to Egypt and you gonna bring them out, you gonna bring them right back here to this mountain. And we gonna worship on this mountain. Watch this. God tells Moses before he sends Moses, you're going in, and then at an appointed time, you're going to come right back here with them, and together we gonna worship on this mountain. I'm shouting because God will give you a word in the pandemic to remind and help you know that you're going to come, that you're going to come out. He speaks, Walter, he speaks to the messenger before he speaks to the masses. He gets the word in the heart of the messenger before he lets the messenger share the word with the masses. Why he do that? Because the messenger needs to have some confidence before they stand before the masses. And so let me testify. I'm a witness. I believe that God has a plan in all that he's doing. And just like he's brought us in, the good God we serve is going to bring us out. Look what he said. Look what he said in that 13th chapter, that second verse. He tells the people before, here Moses is dealing with the people now, and he tells the people before they come out, here's what he says in the second verse. He says, tell the people to consecrate the firstborn. The good news is all God's children now are consecrate, meaning help them to know that they are special. Help them to know that they belong to me. Make sure they understand that they have set apart. Come on, don't make me work too hard. I'm gonna rewind and say it again. You need to know that if you belong to him, he has a design in mind for bringing you here and a design for what you're going to do as you move forward. He says, consecrate them. Then he says, tell them to commemorate this day. In other words, what he's saying, put it on your calendar. Put on the calendar the day that you believe, the day that you heard what I said. And what he was talking about the instituting the Passover experience. It was something that they need to remember over and over again. When God brings you out, you need to remember when he did what he did. I was talking to one of my beloved sons of the church, Janine. He's at Murray State today. gonna play football today. Janiah, we had lunch months ago, and he didn't know where he was going. Janiah didn't know what he was gonna do. And I said, Janiah, what do you want the Lord to do? He said, I want the Lord to let me go to college. And I said, Janiah, why do you want to go to college? And I can't tell you his answer, but it was a good answer. And when he told me to answer down at Taroni's, I told him, you know what? That sounds like something that God would want for you. Let me help somebody up here. When you want what God wants, you're on your way somewhere, because it could be that God put it in your heart. And it wasn't just about him that he wanted it. He wasn't looking for fame or fortune, but there was a higher call of why he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And then I said, well, let's ask God. Let's ask God. I said, because Janiah, you know, you woke up your senior year, well, junior year, and God began to move in his life, but playing football at a college level, that's a whole other thing. I said, Janiah, more than likely, I know athletes and they already have who they want. And so if they ain't talking to you by now, it may be a chance. I said, but we don't know what God's gonna do, but let's ask him. I'm gonna leave my illustration because I already told you he's at Murray State right now, this morning, and I hope you tuning in, Janiah, because we talked about let's ask God and see. And then before he left, me and him, we got this, we went down in prayer to thank God. after you ask him, keep it on your calendar when God did what he did, when God answered your prayer, and then every now and then you ought to have a birthday. You ought to have a blessing birthday, because on this day, it's the day that the Lord, I'm just remembering what the Lord, listen to what Moses told him. Moses says, he says, tell your sons, tell the children, tell the next generation, we do this because we're remembering what the Lord did for us. And gratefulness ought to follow grace. God's in the habit of bringing people out, but he does it in his own time, but he also does it in his own way. He does it in his own way. Look how he delivered them. He didn't send a rock. He didn't send Shaquille O'Neal. He sent an old man. Moses was 80 years old. And his old brother, because he didn't want to be alone. He sent a man with a stick, a piece of tree, and went and stood before a man with a stick, not a spear, not a javelin, not an M17 SIG. He sent a man who stuttered with a stick. Because God has a habit of bringing folk out his own time and in his own way. Ask Daniel, won't he bring you out? But he brought him out in a strange way. He closed the mouths of the lions and gave the king some nightmares all night long. When the king woke up that morning, he couldn't wait and hollered, Daniel, are you all right? Daniel said, slept good between Mr. and Mrs. Lion. Because God can, he has a strange way. He does it his own way of bringing you out. Here's another habit. God has a habit of bringing people through. God can bring you out. He'll bring you out in his own time, in his own way. But when they got out of Egypt, they still wasn't where God ultimately had planned for them. They were out of bondage, but not in the promised land. They were between the blessing that God had promised. I'm trying to help you see it. They out of bondage. Ain't got to make no bricks anymore. They're free, but they're still not in the land of promise where God has. They're between bondage and blessing. Now, it's a blessing to be out of bondage, but God has more for us than to just get out of bondage. They're between the bondage and the blessing, and when he brings them out, it's interesting. He has a path that is unusual. One thing you need to know is that when God brings us out to the blessing, he doesn't always use the shortcut. God's not always going to give you the shortest distance to your blessing, Michelle. I know you're celebrating that he brought you out, and you're wondering, when is the blessing going to come? But God does not always use the shortcut. Look at that 17th verse. In that 17th verse, God said the shortest way was through Philistia, through the Philistines. But God said, I'm not taking them the short way, because if they get down there in the midst of the Philistines, them Philistines will try to bully them, and they might have to go to war, and it's hard to battle when you just came out of bondage. And so I'm going to take them another route to avoid that particular battle, because at this point, they're too close to Egypt, and they might change their mind. Sometimes God has to get you far away from what you came out of, because if you get a little pressure, what you came out of sometimes look better than what you're going to. I'm killing myself. He takes them the long way. He takes them the long way. Don't always get shortcuts. But let me tell you what he does. In the 21st verse, knowing that he's not taking them the shortcut, text says he gives them his constant presence. Bertel, let me show it to you. In that 21st verse, it said, and God gave him a cloud. But read the text carefully, because the text says, and he was in the cloud. And that cloud would lead him by day. But it ain't always daylight. And so God also gave them a pillar of fire. Read the text carefully, and the text says he was in the fire. Watch this. Watch this. God gave them his constant presence as they were moving from bondage to the blessing. I'm going to say it one more time. He gave them his constant, consistent presence as they moved from bondage to the blessing. And then the text says in the 21st verse, Junior, look at this. It said, and they were hooked up so they could move either by day or by night. Watch out now. Watch out now. He said they could roll in the daytime, but they could also roll at nighttime. Here's the point, doesn't matter how dark it got, because of the presence of God, the darkness and the wilderness did not keep them from moving to where God wanted them to be. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how many people catch the COVID. I don't care how many people contract it. That doesn't stop you in the midst of darkness from moving towards where God's getting ready to, God's going to get ready, God's going to take you. I'll give you this one for free. I'm giving you this for free. I might have to pass the basket up in here. Y'all get ready just in case. I might have to pass the basket. Y'all, Mario, y'all get ready. I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to give you this for $5. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you a sale. I'm going to give you this one for $5. Here it is. Here it is. I'm trying to leave this point. Get your $5 ready. God's way is always the shortest way. I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. His way is always the shortest way. Because by the time you get done running into 3 and 4 dead ends, and you got to come back, and then you got to wait, and then you fall into his way, is always. Let me tell you how I know that. Let me tell you how I know that. The other day, I was going to pick up one of my sons. We were going to spend some time together, and he says, I'm at Grandpa so-and-so's house. I didn't know where he lived, but he gave me a geographical location about where it was. He says, it's in Newburgh it's really right behind Acapulco. Now, I know something about Acapulco because my kids tell me they've got great, them green drinks with the icy stuff. Yeah, the margaritas on 99 cent on Saturday. So I know where that place is. But I didn't know the subdivision. I didn't know the street. And I ran into two issues. I plugged the address in, but I had the wrong street. I remember it saying behind Acapulco, but GPS took me towards Outer Lincoln. And I'm trying to trust my GPS a little more because they have advanced it. And I said, I'm going to trust it. I know what he said, but I'm going to trust it. And the truth was that I ended up someplace I didn't plan to be because I was listening. I thought I typed in the right street, but it was the wrong street. And then when I typed it in again, it still didn't go through because before it was going to take me to the second address I typed in, it was trying to get me to the first. The problem is I didn't cancel the first instruction, and so I couldn't get to the second instruction. Come here. I was listening to the voice that was taking me the wrong way, and I didn't cancel it. And so by the time I finally saw where I was, I got on the right track because you can listen to too many voices, but when I listened to the voice with the address, it took me the long way. And I didn't understand why I had to go the long way, because if I'm going behind Acapulco, I mean, I should just turn on Bell Road, but it didn't say that because I ain't never seen the subdivision. It took me 261, then came make a left, and then back to Timberview, and then down Hickory, and then through Hickory, and then finally to that Eagle Street. And when we were leaving, I left going to where I knew Acapulco was, and then when I got down to the road, I'll wrap this story up right here. I discovered that the bridge was out. And even though I could see Acapulco, I couldn't get to it because the bridge was out and the GPS knew something that I didn't know. I couldn't get the shortest way. I had to go the long way because it knew that something down the road that I couldn't see was tow up and I couldn't get through it. Every now and then, if you trust GPS, why don't you trust God? Trust him when he takes you the long way, because it could be something down the road that's tow up that you can't get through. God is in the business of bringing us out. He's in the business of bringing us through. But I also love the fact that God is in the business of helping. God has a habit of helping his children change their mind. God can help us. He's in the habit of helping us change our mind. Mm-hmm. Because we got a strange way as we walk with God. Sometimes along the way, stuff happens and we change our mind. Here we go. When they get to that 14th chapter and the 10th verse, they are marching. The text says in that 10th verse, Shalante, it says, they're marching boldly. They marching like FAMU. They high-stepping, marching boldly. They're marching with confidence. On their way. They're on their way to their blessing. That's in verse number 8. They're marching boldly. But I'm going to tell you that there's a common conduct that often happens among God's children. It happened to them. And beloved, it happens to you and me. Verse 8. They're marching boldly. But between verse 8 and verse 10, God's sovereign hand moved. God, let me put it like this. He let the dogs out. Between verse 8 and verse 10, God changed the mind of Pharaoh. I guess he was asking, I'm thirsty. Hey, bring me some tea. Wasn't no slave there to bring them the tea. They started thinking among themselves, who gonna do all this work? And the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He changed their mind, and then Pharaoh and all of his army and his best chariots, they began to go after the children of Israel to bring them back. I want to remind you that when you get out, when the Lord delivers you from bondage, you know Satan is really interested in trying to get you back. But verse 8, they're marching boldly. In verse 10, they're terrified. Verse 8, they're marching like FAMU. Verse 10, they're scattering and screaming like a baby. What's the difference between verse 8 and verse 10? In verse 8, wasn't nobody following them. In verse 8, wasn't nobody bothering them. In verse 8, all they had to do was walk to the beat. They were on their way. In verse 10, the enemy rose up and was on their trail, and they act a fool, and their faith fails. Their faith fails. I'm going to use the words of a beloved mother who's gone on to be with the Lord. There's a mother who's been with the Lord a number of years. Seemed like every week, though, me and her son, we raise her name because of some of the statements and things she used to say. I'm going to quote from Sister Fanny Hamler, James' mama. She would say, this is plumb embarrassing. You marching boldly in verse 8, high stepping on your way to your blessing. Verse 10, you're crying like a baby, terrified. It's plumb embarrassing. Their faith fails. My question was, what makes it embarrassing is that they did it in the presence of God. The cloud is still there. The fire is still there. The only difference is you see the army behind you. Doggone it. I mean, I could understand it if the cloud had left. If the cloud had left, that means God had left. But the cloud was still there. I'm trying to ask somebody up in here, because you used to, I'm going to talk about you, you used to march like you were a member of FAMU. But now all of a sudden you're scared half to death. You're terrified. I want to know, did the cloud move? Because if the cloud haven't moved, matter of fact, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You know we don't follow no clouds. I know it's even worse. We got the Holy Ghost living on the inside. And so if the Spirit of God is in you, how are you going to be terrified when you have his constant presence and you have his promise that said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you? The cloud didn't move. They're terrified and they're scared. It's absolutely embarrassing. But I'm going to wrap this up. I don't normally go four, but I'm going to go one more. I told you God is in the habit of bringing people out. I told you God is in the habit of bringing people through. God is in the habit of helping you change your mind. Because he tells Moses to stand. He says, you tell them people, I said, all they need to do is stand still. Be still and see the deliverance that the Lord's going to bring today. Here it is, verse 13. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Open your eyes and see the deliverance that the Lord is going to bring to you today. And verse 14 says, the Lord will. He'll fight for you if you just be still. Let me tell you how Moses really said it. Shut up! Because when you're terrified, somebody's making some noise. He had to get their attention. Shut up! Listen to me. The same God who brought you out, the same God that is bringing you through, the same God that you see in the presence of the cloud, the same God who brought the fire, that same God is here right now. He told me to tell you, have I got a witness? You just stand still. He don't need you to do nothing but watch. You ain't got to ask him. You ain't got to beg him. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to foam at the mouth. Just be still and open your eyes and you'll see. Have I got a witness here? You'll see God do what he do. You'll see God do what he do. Won't he? Won't he fight for you? Won't he? Won't he open doors for you? You just be still and see the salvation of the Lord. But somebody said, but they're big. You need to know, however, God is bigger, but their means. However, God has mercy. They're going to destroy us. No, God is going to destroy them. And they were calm. They were quieted. They were encouraged for a minute. God took them through the, God took them over, and they sang in chapter 15. They sang all day, sang all night, because God brought them over. And they were cool for a minute. You keep on reading. I'm so glad God had this in the Bible, because they're a whole lot like us. God gets us through, and we are all right for a minute. Then another challenge comes, and we begin to cry, complain, and are terrified. I want you to remember the goodness of the God of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and your gratefulness ought to match his grace. I know it's hard to do, but your gratefulness ought to match his grace. Tell the truth. God, I don't know what you're up to, but I'm grateful. God, I don't know why so many people are getting sick, but still, I'm trusting you. I'm grateful. There's some folks, some friends of mine have lost their job, and they don't know how they're going to make it, but God, I'm still grateful. And I'm going to close this message, and I'm going to get that sister, Tremaine, to help me. I'm going to steal her line as I close this little message, because here's what you need to remember. Some of y'all are complaining because your feet hurt, and what you need to do is walk through the hospital and remember that some folk ain't got no feet. Some of y'all standing in a closet full of clothes, and you don't know, you say, I ain't got nothing to wear. And then there's a homeless person that got everything they own in a little sack. Some of y'all stand in front of a refrigerator with two doors, and you standing there for 5 minutes. Do I want this? Do I want that? Do I want eggs? Do I want bacon? Do I want hamburger? Maybe I'll have some blueberries. No, I think I'll have some strawberries. No, maybe I'll have a peanut butter and jelly. No, I think I'll do an avocado. I think I'll do a salad. And there's some people going in the trash can. All I'm trying to tell you is you remember the good God you serve. He's a God of habits. God has the habit of bringing his people out. God has the habit of bringing his people through. God has the habit of helping people change their mind. God has the habit of bringing you over. And when you come to yourself, you remember it could have been me outdoors with no food or no clothes or just alone without a friend or just another number with a tragic end. But he didn't seem fit. He didn't seem fit to let none of these things be. Every day by his power, he keeps on. God keeps on keeping me. I need to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Be grateful, because there's somebody else that's worse off than you. Be grateful. Somebody else that would love to be in your shoes. Be. You be grateful for the roof over your head, clothes on your back, car in the driveway. Be grateful. grateful.